Thanks, praise team. Good to have you guys back. Not that I didn't mind it before. I love when we have different kinds of music and transitions, but it's always nice to have that flow and just beautiful stuff this morning. Good morning, everyone. How are we doing today? Are we living a risen life, or are we still struggling with the old life? Because that's the context of our passage this morning in Colossians as we continue to teach in chapter 3. Remember, we talked about this in the beginning, that Colossians chapter 3, if you are interested, and you should be, in counseling others, Colossians chapter 3 is immensely helpful to your cause, okay? Because it helps not only new believers, but mature believers to understand their relationship to Christ, and also how to resolve certain issues in their life. And so this morning we're looking at that. We looked at the first four verses last week. We're going to look at a few more verses this week. And this part actually comes to us in two parts, which I'll cover the first part this morning and the second part next week. It's about our new Christian life. It's about our new life in Christ, but it's about what we put off and it's about what we put on. Okay, and so those are the two parts. The first one is negatively what we are to put off, what is the evidence of our new life in Christ. And the second one is the positive that Paul brings to us. What are the things that we put on? What are the things that are helpful to us in transforming our life? And so that's really the meat of it as we get into this in the next 2 weeks. And of course, next week we'll cover the best part, sort of. And this week we'll look at the negative part, but it's not so negative. It's good for us. It's good for us to hear these things and to contemplate these things. If you look at chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 5 through 11 this morning. Actually, this section goes all the way to verse 17, but I'm just going to go through verse 11, hopefully, in the time that we have. We'll go through verse 11. We'll see what Paul has to say to us in the Word of God this morning. And so, follow along as I read these things. In verse 5, Paul says, "Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them, but now you also put them aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian and Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and our desire this morning is to be transformed. There's nobody here that loves you, that believes you, that doesn't want to be transformed. And so this morning, I'm just praying that your word goes out this morning, and that we hear, not only just in the hearing, but also in the doing, Father God, that we are compelled, not by works, not by an external conformity, not by wanting to impress others, Father God, but we are conformed, we are transformed because of our new status in you, our new life in you, our position and character and nature in you. So this morning, as we read your word, Father, as we study these things, I pray that they would be fruitful in our lives, that we would feel compelled by the love of Christ to apply them in our lives, that we would walk in this newness of life, Father God, understanding that we are being saved by grace, that we are justified freely by grace, that our salvation alone and our forgiveness alone comes from Christ alone. And so, Lord, as we read these words, we pray for the Spirit's work, not only in the teaching, but also in the hearing this morning, that we would just be enjoyed and overjoyed and overflowing, as Jeremy said, Father God, that with the truth of your word. We love you this morning, Jesus, and we're just desperate to love you more and more. And so we pray all these things in your power and your name. Amen. One of the internal evidences that we have a true saving faith is that Christ begins to rewire our old patterns, right? He gives us new patterns, right? We begin to think and walk in a new pattern of life. That's the evidence. That's the internal evidence that we have, okay? And that's really what becomes important to us, is the internal evidence. Doesn't matter what people can see. What matters is what's happening inside of us. That's the truth that we want to grab a hold of, right? And the Word of God makes it clear that there's a good reason for this internal evidence. That's what we've been looking at the last couple weeks, right? When we come to a true saving faith in Christ, when we have been redeemed by Christ, the Bible tells us that our status is immediately changed, right? That we go from death to life is what the Bible says. That we are immediately moved what's another word for immediate? We're really fast at going from death to life, right? It's not a thing that takes forever, right? God says that immediately Paul says that you are crucified with Christ, right? And so we have been transformed spiritually from the domain of darkness, and we are transferred into the kingdom of God, which just simply means that sin is no longer your king, but Christ is your king. Do you understand? Okay, and so all these things are true of us. We are no longer of the world, Jesus says in John 17, right? We are in Christ, and Christ is in us, that we have been immediately united to Christ, that we now have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2 says that you begin to think like Christ and act like Christ. Okay, all these things are true of us at salvation. Remember, as we saw last week, God cares about how we think. Okay, we're not just blindly following some list of rules that the Bible lays out for us, right? God cares about how we think, because thinking dictates our will and our heart, and it also dictates our actions. And so we want to care about how we think as well, right? Jesus just doesn't simply tear away the old way of thinking. He gives you a new way of thinking. It's just like I tell you all the time. Christ doesn't come into your life and rip out all of your old desires, right? But rather what he does is he gives you new desires, right? Remember, Jesus says, wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure is. And so he wants you to treasure him. This is the thing that rewires our thinking. And so this is why Paul, in chapter 3, if you remember, just doesn't start out with this list of do's and don'ts, right? Do this and don't do that. He doesn't start out with that, but rather he starts this chapter by reminding us of our position and our status in Christ. Look at the first four verses again as we review them, right? Paul said, therefore, since you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, right? Set your mind, see it in the verses? Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on this earth. For you have died, right? That means your old self is dead. It's gone. It's been moved away, right? Your old self is dead, and your new life is hidden with Christ in God, right? So your status and your position is in Christ. And it says in the first four verses that Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So positionally, spiritually, that's where you are. We still have to live out this life in the flesh, okay? We still have to do battle here on earth, but spiritually speaking, redemptively speaking, we are already positioned in heaven with Christ, okay? This is a big deal for us, right? In other words, because you have been united to Christ and you now have the mind of Christ and the Spirit of God, you will begin to respond in a manner, right, that is consistent with your new life, that is consistent with your new status. This is what the Bible tells us, okay? Your old status was that you were dead in your transgressions and sins, but your new status is that you are alive in Christ, okay? And so this is a big deal for us. I always tell Christians, you know what? You don't have to search for a new life in Christ. All you got to do is lay hold of it. It's already there for you. You've already got it in salvation. Okay? You're not searching after anything. You already received it by faith. And so the promise of God in salvation is that you will begin to reflect the one who is now in you. Okay? That's just the internal truth for us. That's why I say, just like Bill talked about, right? Don't wash the outside of the cup. That doesn't do any good. If the inside isn't clean, then you're not accomplishing anything. You might impress the world, okay? But what we want to know is what's happening on the inside for real, okay? We don't want to play church. We don't want to play Christian. We want to be alive in Christ, okay? That's our desire. Paul puts it this way in Romans 8:29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed into the image of his Son. That's the promise of God in you in salvation. He says, but we all with an unveiled face, right? We all with an unveiled, and I love this verse, right? When you came to salvation, God did what with the veil that was in front of your eyes? He tore it. He took it away. You can see. You understand now, okay? He says, but we all with an unveiled face are looking in the mirror at the glory of the Lord. In other words, we're going to begin to reflect Christ. We're going to begin to reflect his nature. And you are being transformed into that same image by the Spirit of God. That is the truth for you in this life in Christ. Okay? Remember, the goal of the Christian life, as I said last week, is to become who you already are. Okay? Become who you already are. This is why Paul says, if you look down in verse 10, this is such a big deal for us. He says, put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created you, right? Just simply saying the same thing as our verse just said, right? You are being renewed, right? In Christ you have been made a new creation, Paul says in 2 Corinthians. The old things have passed, they're gone. You are a new creation, okay? Completely new creation. And this word renewed is a good word. It really is the word for renovated. You're being renovated. Okay? Essentially is what happens to you, right? It means to be, make new or to change into something different. That's what's happening to you in Christ. It's what we call a present passive participle, which just simply means it's something that is happening to you. You can cooperate with it, right? But you can't make it happen to you. Only Christ and the Spirit of God and the Word of God can make it happen to you. Okay, but the truth of it is that it is continuously happening to you, and you can believe that. You can lay hold of that. It's a tremendous thought for us. You are being renewed. You are being renovated into a true image of the one who created you. And so for us, even though it doesn't feel like it sometimes, right? I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes we don't feel like we're being renewed. We don't feel like we're being transformed. And even though we don't feel like that, God assures us from his word that in Christ, that old person is dead. We need to consider, we need to reconcile to that. Even though I feel like the old person isn't dead, it's still living in me and working in me, we need to reconcile by the truth of God that that person is dead. It's gone. It has been crucified. Very important for us. And that the new person has been raised with Christ. That's the whole point, right? For we have become united with Christ, Paul says in Romans 6:5. If we have become united in Christ, right, with Christ, in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, right? That's the promise for you. If you have been killed with Christ, crucified with Christ, then the promise is also that you are in the likeness of his resurrection, which is just another simple way of saying that you have been raised to a new life with Christ. Now walk in it. Okay? Act like it. Be who you already are. It just means that our new life should begin to reflect the character of the one who's in us, right? We no longer reflect the character of the world, that we should begin to reflect the character of Christ who is now alive in you. And like I said, this is internal. This is what you want to know for your own health, your own spiritual health. You can pretend with the world all day, okay? We can conform on the outside all day. World does it. They're perfect at it. But it doesn't do you any good if it doesn't happen in here, if it's not real for you in here. Okay? I always say you can lie to the world, but you can't lie to yourself. And so Paul writes, this new life that we have, right, this new resurrection that we have, this character of Christ, not the character of the world, Paul says that our new mindset should be eager to kill the behavior that does not reflect the person that's in us. We should be eager. That should be our attitude. That's one of the evidences that we have. That we're eager to get rid of the old life. We don't want to do the old life anymore. Okay? That our new mindset should be eager to love the things that God loves and to hate the things that God hates, right? Because the whole point is that your new life is hidden in Christ. And so I want to caution you here, right? What we're talking about is not perfection. Okay? Because sometimes when we preach these things, people are like, oh my gosh, Pastor Sean, you don't know my life, man. There's all kinds of sin in it. What does that mean, right? Well, it doesn't mean anything, okay? What it means is that you, right, have a new life in Christ. Your life is hidden in Christ, but your body's still here doing battle. That's what it means. It's like I tell everybody, the mere fact that you recognize your sin means that you have a pulse. Okay, you with me? Because the world doesn't care about their sin. And the only way you're going to care about your sin is because the Holy Spirit is in you battling against your flesh. Okay, which means you have something inside of you that's fighting, right? And so this is not about perfection. What we're talking about here is an internal transformation, right? Anyone can transform the outer person. Remember that Paul addressed this issue in chapter 2. Remember when he talked about legalism and he talked about asceticism and he talked about mysticism. Boy, people in the church, right, or people play in church, they're good at that stuff, right? Look how righteous and holy I am. Okay, but if there's nothing on the inside, right, it doesn't matter how righteous and holy you are. Our concern, our main concern today, our main concern for our new life is ask the question, am I truly being transformed on the inside? Okay, is my mind being truly renewed to a true knowledge through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, right? Because it is the inward transformation that leads to an outward expression, not the other way around. You can transform the outside of your life all you want, okay? But it'll make no difference for your relationship with Christ, right? If there's no life in you, there's not going to put a life in you by being really good. So if Christ is truly in us and we are truly in Him, our new desire should be to walk in the new life, right? Not the old life. Just this, I mean, it doesn't get any simpler than this. Just as Paul said back in chapter 1, right? Our new desire is to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Is that my desire? You see, we cannot claim to be raised with Christ, to have a new life in Christ, and then habitually walk in the old life. Do you understand? That would be in opposition to the character and the nature of the one who is in you. Okay? And this is what you need to be with other Christians, right? You need to, man, what does your old life reflect? Is your desire for the old things, is your desire for the old life? Or is your new life reflecting the character and the nature of Christ? Not perfectly, but is that your desire? Anything else would be in opposition to the very nature of the one who is in you, right? Jesus said, if you love me, right, you will keep my commandments. That is the outward expression of love. John put it this way, he said, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. I love that verse. One of my confirmations as an early Christian, and I know I shared this with you guys before, was that God's commandments, right, the things that God desired for me, were not a burden to me. I thought, that's a wonderful verse, man. What a confirmation. Because if they are a burden to you, then you've got to do a checkup from the neck up because something's missing. In other words, if you truly have a new life in Christ, it should not be a chore to follow Christ. It should not be a burden to follow His commandments because you have His very nature and character in you. You have the love of God in you, right? And so, like I said, we're not talking about perfection here. We're still going to struggle with the flesh. We're still going to struggle with the old life. We're still going to fall short of the glory of God every single day. But what we are talking about is our pattern of life, right? What is it that defines us? Are we defined by our pursuit of Christ, or are we defined by our sin? That's really the question that you have to ask, right? Is our pattern of thinking and walking still mired in the old life, or is it mired in the new life? Is our passion and desire for the things of God or for the things of the world, right? Are we defined by our sin, or are we defined by our risen life in Christ? That's what Paul's trying to get to here, right? Paul says essentially in verse 7 and 8, right? You used to walk in that old pattern when you were living in them, but you now have laid aside the old pattern of life. Paul is reminding us here, right? I mean, this is the whole kind of synopsis of the chapter. Paul is reminding us here that since we have died, since we have been buried with Christ, resurrected with Christ, and ascended with Christ, since we have set our minds on the things above and not on the things of the earth, there are some things that we need to put off, and there are some things that we need to put on. Simple as that, right? I love it. And the imagery here, I mean, if you look at the big picture, the imagery here is that we have taken off one set of clothes, our old set of clothes, and we put on a new set of clothes. One commentator put it this way, he says, we take off our grave clothes and we put on our grace clothes. I love that. And it's really the picture of the New Testament, if you think about it. Right? When Christ rose from the dead, he left his grave clothes behind, right? Or remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? I love that picture. What was the first order of business? Take those grave clothes off of him. That doesn't define him anymore. He is defined by a new life, a resurrected life. And so those are the things that we need to ask ourselves. This isn't for you, caution here. This isn't for you to go checking everyone else's grave clothes. Are you with me? Right? We're going to get into some of these verses here that are going to help you out with that. Okay? We're not to go around checking everybody else's grave clothes. We need to worry about our own grave clothes or our own grace clothes, I should say. Paul says in verse 5, therefore, right, if you look at it, since you have been risen with Christ and your life is now hidden in Christ, right, that's what the therefore is there for, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passions, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry, okay, which I love it. He says all those things are just self-love, period. He says, consider the members of your earthly body dead, right? This nekrao, this is the word for consider here. It means to put to death, right? It means to stop completely. It means to deprive it of power. Deprive the members of your body of power. Paul's not talking about your body. Your body isn't sinful in of itself. It's what you do with your body that's sinful. Okay? I think a better translation, I put it up there for you, is the NIV. NIV says, therefore, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature, right? Whatever that old life was, start putting that stuff to death. You're already dead, okay? But that stuff wants to creep up, doesn't it? It wants to keep coming back into our life. He says, you got to kill it. You got to put it to death. Don't let it have any life. In other words, whatever is still hanging on from your old nature, from your old way of thinking, right? Stamp it out, kill it, deprive it. Don't give it any foothold in your life. This is what Paul is talking about when he says, right, the members of your earthly body. He's talking about the things that you do in the flesh. Remember, Jesus said sin doesn't come out of a person's mouth. It comes out of a person's heart. Okay? It comes out of a person's heart. If the heart is corrupted, then the flesh will follow. This is why I say, this is why you want to know that this is internal in you and not external. Okay? But the things that come out of a person's mouth, Jesus says, come from the heart, and these things defile him. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. So don't think you're going to get away today if you don't have any kind of sexual impurity in your life. God also says if you're a gossiper, you got to have a conversation with Him. Okay? You have to have a conversation with Him. This is why I made the point earlier that it is no good to merely conform our life on the outside, right? If your heart isn't right, Jesus says, then all you've done is make yourself a slave again to works. Okay? If it's not happening in here and you're just conforming your body externally, you're just going back into slavery. Remember, Christ came to do what? He came to free you from the slavery of sin. He took you out of that prison of sin. And so for you to come into a life with Christ and go, okay, now my life is this list of don't do that, don't do this, please don't do that, I don't want to do, right? If that's all your list is, you're just jumping right back into the prison again. Okay? Just making yourself a slave to works, right? And this is the whole point that Paul's making. It's not simply what you take off. It's about what you put on. What are you putting on? Okay, it's not just about taking off the grave clothes. It's about putting on those grace clothes, right? That you take off the old self and you put on the new self, right? We don't just make our life about avoiding sin. Please, please help people with this. Baby Christians that come into my office and they're like, oh my gosh, I just, now my whole life, I'm just keep on sinning. You said if I came to Jesus that everything was going to get better, right? Help them out with that. Help them out with that, right? Tell them, don't make your life about avoiding sin. Make your life about pursuing Christ. He'll take away your old desires and He'll give you new desires. Keep fighting the good fight, right? Which, of course, doesn't mean that we'll never sin again. It just means that sin no longer has any power over you. It has no domain over you. It's not your king. Okay? Whether you're not sinning or you're avoiding sin, you're making sin the focus of your life. Do you understand? Make Christ the focus of your life. Make His Word the focus of your life. Tell people this all the time. Man, when you don't feel like worshiping, when you feel like your life is going in the opposite direction, you've got to get into the Word of God. You've got to start reading the Word of God. You've got to force yourself to read the Word of God. I told you guys about Psalm 119. I think it's 17 times in there. The psalmist says, revive me with your Word. When I start looking at things in vanity, when I start looking at other things that I shouldn't be looking at, when I start desiring things that are not desirable, revive me with your Word. And I'm telling you, it works. It works. I tell Christians all the time, you can't hold your sin in one hand and the Word of God in the other. It doesn't work. You'll have to put one of them away. Okay? You'll have to put one of them away. And this is kind of what Paul's saying. Don't just put off the old self, but put on the new self. Put on the new self. Paul says in Romans 6:6, I love this. Knowing this, right? We know this. Our old self was crucified with Christ in order that our body of sin might be done away with. And all that means is not that you're never going to sin again. What it means is that sin has no domain over your life anymore. It has no power over your life anymore. It can't control you anymore. All you could do before you were crucified with Christ is sin. You couldn't do anything good. But after Christ, in salvation in Christ, right? You now have the ability not to sin. What a gracious thing that is. I was telling our eschatology class the other night that one of the greatest aspects of heaven that I like is there'll be no more sin. That is just the most wonderful thought for me in the whole world because I get sick of battling my sin. Okay? All the time. Oh my gosh. Right? It's going to be nice in heaven. I mean, granted, it's going to be wonderful and beautiful and luxurious to be in the face of Christ, to be worshiping Christ. But there's also going to be the aspect that my mind will no longer be corrupted. My heart will no longer be corrupted. I'll no longer be cynical. I mean, not that I am a whole lot now, but so that's a wonderful thing, right? Remember, Jesus just doesn't take away our old desires. He gives us new desires, right? and our new desires, our new passions, our new heart, if we allow it to, will override the old passions and desires. It really will. Okay? Remember, it's about what we are seeking in verse 1. It's about what we're seeking in verse 1. It's about what we set our minds on in verse 2. Okay, what are you setting your mind on? How we stand and how we walk right in this world depends on where we are seated. And verse 3 says, for you have died, right? And your life is hidden in Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God. That's where you're seated. You have a whole new perspective on this thing. And so Paul says in verse 5 again, he says, therefore put to death, right, all sexual immorality. Porneia is the word. It's where we get our word porn from. Just means all various kinds of sexual immorality. Okay? Put away that stuff. Impurity, right? Akatharsia is the word. It means filthy or unclean things. Sexual passions. Pathos, right? Put away those things, those lusts and those desires. It might not just be for sexual sin. It might just be after things that we know that aren't good for us. Okay? It says put away all that stuff. Kill it. Stamp it out. Evil desires, right, that lead to greed, it says. Or covetousness, right? Which is nothing more than idolatry, Paul says. All of these things are just self-loving. They aren't Christ-loving. Put them away. I heard a radio program last week. Some dude, he was a priest for like 50 years in the Catholic Church. He said, in all the years I heard confessions, nobody ever confessed the sin of covetousness. And I thought, wow, that's kind of weird, right? Because that's really our first inclination, isn't it? We just want more. It's never enough. Give us something else, right? That's what the whole thing is. I mean, and think about it. Covetousness is one of the big 10, I mean, if you want to look at it that way, right? Remember, Paul isn't covering every sin here. He's giving us categories of sin. And he says, put away all those things, right? We are to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive in Christ, right? And a right thinking for us leads to a right heart, and a right heart leads to right action, right? This is why he says in verse 6, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, right? It is these things that we have put away that God is going to punish the world for. And so you want to know by your new life in Christ that you're not a son of disobedience anymore, that you are a child of the light. Remember, Paul says, walk as a child of the light. That's who you are. Become who you are. To do anything else is, like I said, in the opposition of the character of Christ in you. Become who you are. Walk as children, right? Verse 7, he says, you used to walk in that old way, but that old person is dead. Let it be dead. And so, like I said, just in case you thought you were free and clear, right? I don't have any sexual immorality in my life. Paul goes into another list here that catches us all for sure. I love it. Right? You're feeling pretty good until you get to verse 8. And he says, you also put aside all anger, wrath, malice, slander, right? Which essentially amounts to gossip and hateful speech from your mouth. Put away all those things. They got no place in your life. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices in verse 9. I mean, don't you see the real danger here? This is why Paul, I think, adds lying onto the end of this whole thing. The real danger here that I see, and this is the thing that catches me, if any of these things that Paul has listed are what define your life, right? You're not only lying to others, but you're also lying to yourself. You're being deceived. If any of these things are still the pattern of your life, or if any of these things are what define your life, you're still wearing your grave clothes. Do you understand? You haven't put on the grace clothes. There may be no life in you. There may be no character of Christ in you. My wife always says, why do you say those things? Because everyone who's sitting there that doesn't believe won't hear it anyway. And that's true. They don't. Right? The people who don't believe go, well, that's not me. It must be her or her. Right? Because we teach believers. We want believers to know. We don't want to be deceived, right? Paul says in Romans 12:9, let your love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. In other words, your new character and nature is what? It's going to hate those things that God hates. And it's going to cling to those things that God loves. Okay? That should be what characterizes our life. It should be what defines our life. Remember, the evidence here of a new life is that you have laid aside the old life with its evil practices, both internally, right, in the heart, and externally, right, in the flesh. And you have to have both of those. You can't have one without the other. You can't say, well, I'm really transformed in the heart, but I'm just not transformed out here. That would be a lie. You can't have on both the grace clothes and the grave clothes at the same time. You have to put off one and put on the other. You cannot habitually be mired in sexual sin and morality, right? And then claim to be raised with Christ, right? You cannot habitually be mired in lust and evil desires and claim to have a new life in Christ. You cannot habitually be mired in slander and gossip and coarse language and claim that you are in love with Christ. Because that is in opposition to the very one who is in you. Because Paul says it goes right back to who you are in Christ, right? It goes right back to the position and status that you have in Christ. Verse 10, he says, the evidence that you have put on the new self is that you are being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created you. That you are becoming more and more like Christ. This doesn't happen all in one moment, but there should be evidence in your life that it is happening. Because we are alive in Christ, he says. We must seek the things that are above, he says. And because we have died with Christ, we must put off the things that belong to the old life. We must put our grave, right? Put off our grave clothes and put on these grace clothes. And this result that we have is that we become more like Jesus. That's the whole point. God wants to renew us, and he wants to conform us into the image of his Son. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, right? He's a new creation. I love that verse. Okay? Completely recreated. You are being changed into something new, something different. And so Paul assures us, man, it's not just what we're putting off, right? Let's not get just focused on what we're putting off, but let's start focusing on what we're to put on. And so next week, as we go into those verses, we're going to see. And those things are going to be helpful to you. Those things that we put on are going to be most helpful for you in putting off those things that we should put off. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your words. Always encouraging to us, Lord, because we want to know. I'm telling you, Lord, some of the things that come to our mind, some of the things that come to our thoughts that we just don't share with anybody else, is that we truly want to know on the inside that we believe that we are saved, that we are redeemed, that we have eternal life. It does us no good if everybody else is convinced, but we aren't. And so, Lord, my prayer for all of us this morning as we think about these words, as we contemplate these words today, as we read these words, is that we would have this confirmation in ourselves, Father God, that you would make it known to us that we are being transformed. That by our mere thoughts and our mere prayers and our mere desires and our mere actions, Father God, would begin to tell us that we have the life of Christ in us, that we have been risen with him, and that we are living that risen life. And Lord, let that be true for us this week. Encourage us with those words this week. And conversely and negatively, Father, if there are those that are in here this morning, Lord, that are not living that risen life, and they know it on the inside. They've been pretending on the outside. They've been playing church and playing Christian on the outside, Father, but there is no renewal in their life on the inside. I beg you, Lord, to transfer, to transform their heart, Father God, to see the truth, to pull away that veil, Father God, that they would surrender, that they would bow down to you, that they would beg for forgiveness, Father God, that they would beg for salvation. Because whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let that be true of them this morning, Father God. Please, please. Let the goal of our salvation be to become who we are. A child of God, a child of the light, sons and daughters of the living God. We thank you this morning, Father, for your word. We pray all these things in our wonderful Lord Jesus' name. Amen.